We were hearing a little bit earlier on NPR about the House Speaker race. It appears now that, Paul Ryan is the front runner for that seat, for that position. But he appears to have the votes, but does he have the amount of support that he needs from that he wants from Republicans?
I think he will, or he won't go further. Paul is really a quality person. He's a person of integrity, and he really doesn't want to do this job. You know, he's a policy wonk. He's a great communicator, and is chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. And really, his whole focus through Congress has been reforming the tax code, which I think everybody agrees that we desperately need to do. But he's willing to take this on, but he wants to have the support of the entire conference, and so he's working hard to do that now, and I think at the end of the day he'll have the support that he needs, and then we'll travel on in the House with new blood. And I don't know that that's I think that's probably a good thing. And so at the end of the day, I think it's going to work out and be a positive thing.
Well, of course, the other big news yesterday, Vice President Joe Biden announced he's decided not to enter the presidential race. I know that's, of course, not your side of the fence, but was that a surprise? And do you think that will benefit, say, the Clinton camp in the Democratic race?
You know, I don't know that it was really a surprise, but it was something that's just kind of hanging out there. And I think it was good that he went ahead and decided, because it's really not fair to the rest of the candidates when you're just kind of out there. So the fact that he made the decision, and certainly, he's had a good career, and these things are just real battles. He's had his, the tragedy in his personal life with his son. But I do think that it probably will help Secretary Clinton in the sense of being able to really know what she needs to do for sure in the future. And then, we'll be battling Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Hillary Clinton is testifying today before the Select Committee on Benghazi. There have been numerous investigations of this tragedy over the past 3 years, really without much result other than revealing the email issue. Democrats say that while this was certainly a tragedy, the ongoing investigations have been a waste of time and taxpayer money. And the House majority leaders reportedly bragged about the damage to Clinton's poll numbers, making it sound like these investigations have been done for the sole purpose of damaging Clinton's presidential campaign.
Well, I would disagree. Trey Gowdy also is a very honorable person, former prosecutor, who really has conducted this in a very professional way. The leaks have been minimal. When people like Cheryl Mills, a key person at the State Department, went and was deposed recently, the lady that was very close to Secretary Clinton, when people like that were deposed, all of them agreed that they couldn't have been handled any better, very professionally. What has come out recently as a result of this is not only the email saga and all of those things, but now we have the emails that were from the ambassador, and no committee's ever studied those before. That's something that is going to be brought up today. So I think it's very, very important that we get to the bottom of this and truly do get to the bottom, and then it's over. But I visited with some of the families that were involved. They desperately don't feel like that they know what went on. They want to know what went on in the sense of having that laid to rest, but also so that we can prevent this type of thing from happening in the future.
What do you think she can be expected to say that she hasn't already said?
Well, I think, again, the email link with ambassador, whether or not he was asking for help, simply didn't get it, those kind of things. So I think we'll have to wait and see. But I do think that, Trey Gowdy wants this thing to be handled in a very professional way. And really, not with the idea of a gotcha, but with the idea of just seeking answers.
Well, President Obama is threatening to veto the defense authorization bill. This is an unusual move by the president. You're authorizing the amount he requested, but the objection seems to be not what you did, but how you did it.
No, that's right. And Yeah, we're a nation at war. This is the big bill that funds the military. Recently, the president announced that we were going to stay in Afghanistan. I think that's a good thing, you know, in the sense if we don't leave some minimal troops there to just in an advise and consent role, helping the Afghanis, that we'll wind up like we are in Iraq. But you can't have it both ways. You know, you're in the situation where a nation at war, you have to fund the troops. And really what he's doing is holding them hostage to trying to get more money for domestic programs. And so, you know, we're going to work hard. We had a really great vote, a very bipartisan vote in the Senate and the House. And so if he does decide to veto it for those reasons, again, in an effort to get more money for additional programs that he'd like to have, you know, hopefully we can override that veto and protect our military.
Now, as I understand it, this is a kind of a confusing issue, but the funding for the appropriation was for the authorization, rather, was done by bypassing the spending caps that were put in place under sequestration, and the president says that these caps should be lifted, and if you can find money for defense spending, you should be able to find it for domestic spending.
No, that's right. And I would argue, though, that, you know, with an $18-plus trillion debt, deficits of, you know, around $500 billion just recently coming off of trillion-dollar deficits year after year, you know, that you simply have to cut back. Just like, you know, people all over Arkansas, businesses all over Arkansas have done. So you have to prioritize. And I would argue right now that you know, the one thing the federal government has to do is protect us. And so most people, the military included, you know, certainly, you know, at the top of the list, agree that that we need additional funding for the military as we go forward. The other programs, creating new programs that we don't have now that the president would like to do, I think you could argue that we could do without those.
Well, you're calling for a return to so-called regular order, the order of how things are supposed to be when, you know, funding bills are presented. They're approved by the House, approved by the Senate. Things come together and you agree on something. You send it to the president. He signs it. This really hasn't happened in over 20 years. No matter which party was in control of Congress, the other party obstructs things and forces CRs and omnibus bills.
I agree.
Well, now with Congress more polarized than ever, how can this be possible?
Well, we simply have to get it worked out. And the reason for that, Mark, is what's happened is we've got this vacuum. You're right. You know, Congress is not able to get these bills passed. And this is where you divide the spending of the federal government. Instead of just lumping it into one big ball, you divide it into 12 different committees. We were able to actually pass out in the House and out of the Senate, really for the first time since 2009 in the Senate, the bills out of committee. They were discussed. All of the spending was discussed. They were voted on. And, you know, by majority vote, were passed out of the committees, many of them in a very bipartisan way. Now we get to the floor of the Senate, and it's just hung up. So, and you're right, this has been going on for a long time. What's happened is it's created a vacuum, and that vacuum has been filled by presidential authority, and then the agency's just simply doing things anyway because of the inaction of Congress. So we have to get back, you know, and again, this is going to take Democrats and Republicans working together, but we've simply got to figure this out, particularly with the spending measures.
Well, I'm hearing more and more people and disturbingly young people saying that the two-party system is not working. They're calling for something different, or they're just checking out of the process altogether and saying there's no point in going to vote because whichever party wins, it doesn't matter. And that's, you know, a disturbing trend, I think.
Well, it is disturbing. You know, people have lost faith in their institutions, and they're frustrated. And part of that is, you know, young people, the unemployment right now is high. You know, so they're worried about their futures. You look at the world around us, all of the problems overseas, and then again, as I mentioned earlier, the debt, which Admiral Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, a few years ago said that was the greatest threat that we faced, you know, as a nation. And they're the ones who are going to have to pay these things off. So you know, their frustration is right. You know, we simply have to address these problems and start, you know, solving them versus talking about them.
I know you had a farm tour earlier this fall. I want to talk about that a bit. We've got a project that some people are involved here in our College of Media and Communications at Arkansas State University, looking at the drop in cotton acreage here in an area where cotton was king for so many, many years. I wonder if any producers you met talked about this shift away from cotton and what their feelings were about it.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing this project. It's so important, and you know, the farm economy in Arkansas is so very, very important to the state, but also it is, in many parts of the state, the only economy. And so anything we can do to highlight the problems and how we can support in rural America, rural Arkansas, is very, very important. In regard to cotton, you know, because of low prices, people are shifting away and going to other crops. And that's a problem, because the cotton economy, not only do you have the economy of producing the crop, but also you've got you're ginning the product, you're value adding it. That's creating more jobs, and those gins, you know, as you start shutting those down, because you no longer need them. If the price does come back, it's very difficult after they're down for a while to fire things back up. So this is just one of the things that rural America is facing. But the loss of cotton is a significant problem, and so I'm glad that you're highlighting it and going from there.
What are the prospects for opening up, say, farm markets in Cuba?
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because you say, well, John, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, what we're trying to do is do additional markets, and not only in Cuba, but throughout other parts of the world. I was, you know, so frustrated, because you see all of these container ships coming over here filled to the brim and then going back empty, you know, to these other countries. And so that's why we worked hard to get a world trade center established. That's their goal, is to help individual producers, in not only in the farm economy, but just in everything, make it such that we're trading with other countries. But, yeah, we're working hard to get the things opened up in Cuba. That would be a great boost to Arkansas. And then also, I think it would be a great boost to the Cuban people. You change countries by dealing with them. You change them through personal relationships, and that's the way I think you change. Right now, we've been doing the same thing for decades, and it hasn't worked. The other thing is, as I've always said, you have to be consistent. And certainly we deal with a lot worse people than the Cubans in regard to human rights, the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Saudis, and the list goes on and on.
Well, just very quickly, I know Veterans Day is approaching soon. Give me a little bit of information about this product that you've got going to honor Arkansas veterans, and how people can get information about it.
Yeah, you know, Veterans Day is coming, and sadly, you know, we need to think about our veterans all the time.
Sure.
ASU is doing such a tremendous job out there. We can be very, very proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're trying to do is just take pictures, you know, that highlight veterans or active duty members. They, through Instagram, your listeners can use the hashtag HonorARVets. Or they can go to our website, bozeman.senate.gov, and send a picture. And then we're posting those, and again, just doing little things that we can think of. And if your listeners can think of any other ways, you know, that we can help vets, be sure and have them contact us.
All right. Thanks, sir, for your time today.
Thank you so much, as always, for having us, Mark.